We're sponsored by Overcast, an independent podcast app that embraces the open world of podcasting instead of locking it down.
No exclusives, no premium content, no paywalls, just a great podcast app for everyone. Get it for free in the App Store. Hello, 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 Ned.
Mackenzie, MJ.
Whoa. How are you this week?
I'm neato, you know?
Neato Petito.
Ooh, how are you doing?
You know, I'm living. I'm living life. I'm living, I'm laughing, I'm loving.
Fucking fighting, breathing, cheating. Girls in tight dresses do drag with mustaches. I can sing the whole thing, but I shouldn't.
We get sued. This is what we get sued for. Not all the Desperate Housewives content we use, but because the L word is like absolutely not. I'm pumped to talk about this episode of Desperate Housewives, baby.
So am I. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're going into what I'm mostly excited for is that we're building up to the end of the season, and I love completing things. I love being like, ooh, I did that. Yes, I did that. So I'm very pumped that we're very close to the end of season three. Do you want to get some facts? You want some facts? You want some figures?
Yes, please.
So today we are discussing season three, episode 17. This episode premiered March 4th. 2007, and was written by Kevin Edden and Susan Neera Jaffe, and directed by a new director to us, Matthew Diamond. Diamond Whoa. Is an Academy Award nominated director, and his nomination comes from the 1999 documentary feature Dance Maker. He's predominantly a choreographer, and as well, he has a ton of dance credits, but for directing, he's worked on shows such as Gilmore Girls, That's So Raven, Scrubs, The Golden Girls, A Different World, Designing Women, Sister Sister, Living Single, and a million more, as well as he directed The Wiz Live in 2015. Was it NBC, I think, right? NBC's Live that year. I actually think one of the best lives. Had it had an audience, it's so good. Had it had an audience, I think it'd be the best. It suffered from that like dead air of not having a live audience, but it's probably the best cast one, in my opinion, of all the live musicals. I own it on Amazon because that's who I am. So that's him. So look at this Academy Award nomination here.
Hell yeah.
Go him.
Go him.
This episode is called Dress Big for Sondheim Watch. And it is a song from the Sondheim musical The Frogs, which is a wildly niche Sondheim musical.
What even is
it? I don't even know how to describe it. It's like, because I don't even know if I fully know what it's about, but it's like kind of based off of a Greek legend, I think. It's sort of like a comedy playing on Greek things. I don't even know. It's just like, it's a Sondheim musical. I personally don't know. I don't want to say no one knows it, but I wouldn't say it's one of his hits. That's for sure. For Wisteria International in France, this was called The Subject of Desire. And in Germany, this was called Clothes Make the Man, which, after I watched the episode, kind of a weird name.
yeah.
But that's what I got for you for the Top of Show Facts.
Top of Show Facts, does that mean? Don't tell me that means.
It means we're diving into the Sodi.
Okay.
Oh. Look how they massacred my episode.
Look how they massacred my episode.
Oh, it's the Marge Simpson. Look how they massacred my boy. The best TikTok of all time.
So, we start the episode with Susan and Ian, which I was a little taken aback because there was no instant Mary Alice monologue.
No, it was weird.
It's kind of them coming together and meeting, and then she comes in. Mm-hmm. We find out that Ian's love for Susan is indestructible, no matter what happens. Because she kicks his ass all the time on accident.
Do you want to know what I wrote down?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Ian Hainsworth, and this is Jackass. And then it's just a montage of him being, like, destroyed by Susan.
This is me going in for a morning kiss.
And then he gets hit by a bull.
Yeah.
Oh, but hey, we meet more British people.
We meet the most British people. Listen, I know we have said, like, listen, if our accents are bad and you hate them, tell us, these...
Graham and Dahlia. I wonder if these actors are Brits.
I wonder, yeah.
The mom, I know from exclusively one other project, and it is really? The Jane Austen Book Club, which is a movie that only I like, and even then I don't super like it, but I like parts of it. And she plays Emily Blunt's hippie pot-smoking mom.
Oh.
And one would think, based on the way that film paints her as like a weed smoker, that when you are high on the devil's lettuce, you quite literally, you go fully brain dead. Because there's a part where she like eats brownies out of a hot pan and then puts the pan on a carpet and the whole carpet burns. And I'm like, who does that? I have been so high in my life and I cannot imagine putting my brownie pan on a carpet.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. Very silly movie. I digress. She's Dahlia here. She's Ian's mother. At first I thought they seemed nice, but they're not. They're not nice people at all.
They're evil. Who orders a thimble of gin?
A thimble of gin, please. He also calls grilling, his dad calls grilling wonderfully primal, which is insane. That is wild. That is absolutely wild. But hey, we get a little bit of a classic bit here where we... Ned's facepalming right now. The guys go inside. Susan's like, let me start the fire. For some reason, Ian goes, perfect idea, darling. You an open flame. And so he goes inside. I thought it was funny. And then, like, there's like a window in the back, and we basically see Susan light Ian's mom on fire. I'm Dahlia Hainsworth, and this is Jackass. Like, it's fully an episode of Jackass right now.
I love that they're doing this. I love that we're bringing, you know, it was a cultural statement back then as much as it is now.
Now, Jackass forever. Did you see the amount of gasoline? Not gas, but you know what I mean. She was pouring on before they went inside.
Yeah.
I was like, why would you ever leave Susan Meyer with an open flame? Why don't you just take the whole cap
off, Susan?
She just cuts the top and pours the whole thing in.
She just sets it on there and takes a rifle and shoots it. So, I'm Susan Meyer, and this is Jackass.
Yes. How is Dahlia's arm not burned to a crisp? She's the Human Torch from Fantastic Four, secretly. She just didn't want to tell anybody.
And it's easier to just get mad at Susan than admit her secret.
Yeah, or admit that why were you standing 2 inches from an open flame wearing a silk blouse also?
Yeah. She also, was like, Ian, why didn't you warn anyone?
Literally. She was like leaning, the mom was like leaning over the grill, being like, what's in here? Before that got on fire. I'm like, girl, stand away.
It's because they already established that British people don't have grills.
That's true. They got to get in there. They got to figure out what's going on.
Or at least rich ones.
Yeah, that's it.
So we end that scene on a button of Susan and Dahlia coming in to the house with a singed.
Aren't we so quirky?
Transition. In a housewife's closet, there is one thing she'll never get rid of, no matter what. Edie has some nice leather pants that will never come back in style. I wrote your name down next to that. I said Edie and these other pants would kill MJ.
They would. Edie and leather. It would do me in. Edie's got them pants. Susan has her high school cheerleading uniform or something weird. Lynette has a bikini. But Gabby, we see everything is a treasure because Gabby loves herself some clothes. And then we see, quite possibly, the best duo of all time, Edie and Gabby. Why the fuck don't they hang out more?
I don't know.
Are you kidding me? Those two characters work so well together. Why are they not a natural duo for this show?
Do you know how many men they could kill just by looking at them in unison?
I would love Gabby and Edie to be hanging out more because they just make so much sense as a fun little sexy duo.
Yeah. They both love to go out and party. They're both single right now, yes. So they can just like go out and have like girls' nights.
Yes.
It makes perfect sense.
I love it. And I also like that, like, clearly they were having girl talk because Edie is, like, asking about Victor and, like, oh, what's going on with that? And Gabby's like, yeah, I'm going to dump him. You know, he's arrogant. I don't really care. But girl talk is quickly wrapped up when they enter in because we did see after Mary Alice called Gabby's clothes irreplaceable that the pipes above the closet burst and we see the ladies walking in to witness the horror that is the ceiling damage and Gabby's entire closet completely ruined. And I would have shat my little pants. I would not have known what to do. I would have been mortified if all my clothes were ruined in one fell swoop.
Yeah. I mean, yes.
What am I going to do without my sweatpants and my movie t-shirts? I don't know what I'm going to wear.
I'm gonna die without all of my novelty tees. That is Gabby's lifeblood.
Yes, it is.
First of all, the effect of the water trashing the closet, great, amazing. I was super into it.
Explosion. Yeah.
Explosion.
Michael Bay levels of shit right there.
Oh, there. Bumblebee, I'm pretty sure, was in the background. And I don't know. I was pumped to see Gabby's stuff get trashed because I was like, what is she going to have to do
well,
to replace this stuff?
You know, fuck a rich man.
Fuck a rich man, like always.
If I fucked a rich man, dabba dee bee dabba dee, I'd have all the clothes in the world. If I fucked a wealthy man, hey! My fiance will murder me when she hears that because she loves that musical so much. We go to the pizza parlor. And it's, once again, I mean, can Lynette and Tom go a week without fighting over some bullshit? Because Tom asks where Lynette's uniform is. And she's like, well, it's ugly, so I'm not going to wear it. And he doesn't budge because he's like, no, you work here. You should wear the uniform. And it's like a bickery moment. I thought it was playful. I thought it was playful. But I was also like, pick your fights. Like, wearing an orange t-shirt at work is not worth the fight. And even later when we get some context into how Lynette feels about it, I'm like, girl, you agreed that he'd be the boss here. Just wear the fucking t-shirt. I was like kind of over this storyline all episode. I was like, it doesn't, why does this matter?
Yeah, it's just, I don't mean to be a broken record, but it's just kind of like a small conflict that they blow up for the entirety of an episode to give them something to do.
Yep.
I just want to see more out of them, and maybe we'll finally get more out of them in the coming episodes, but let's not talk about that right now. Let's talk about Edie
being horny for Carlos.
She's horny
for Carlos.
Carlos has been hanging out with Travers a lot, you know, playing some b-ball in the driveway, hanging out, shirtless.
Oh yeah,
getting all slippery and wet.
You know, we had a bit of a fun the other day on our Instagram that was unpopular opinions, and then people could vote on whether or not they agreed or not. And one of them, though I don't think it's unpopular, was that a lot of people seem to think Carlos is the hottest house husband on the lane.
Whoa.
So that's for all you guys out there who think Carlos is the hottest.
Carlos is the house husband of the week. Thank you, everybody who voted.
I do think it's funny that Edie is like trying to ask him on a date and he seems very like oblivious to it and or purposefully ignoring it. I couldn't quite tell at this point where he was landing, but
we go back to Dahlia. Did we ever find out Ian's dad's name?
Graham.
Dahlia and Graham. Okay, Graham.
I wrote that down. Maybe I just made that up. I don't know why I wrote that down, but I hope it's right.
Because I'm going to have to fact check you after this.
They have the most rancid vibes. I hate them so fucking much. This part is, I was cringing in my seat watching this conversation happen. It was so awful.
Yeah. They start talking about how they didn't know Susan was married before.
Yes.
And Dahlia says, like, oh, he must have done something horrible. And Susan was like, oh, he cheated on me. And Dahlia's like, oh, just adultery? Whatever.
You stay married to a man like that. And Susan's like, no, no, I don't. I have self-respect. What?
The fact that, like, is this the scene where they give her the prenup, or is that the next one?
That's later. I think this kind of prompts them thinking about giving her a prenup, because she does make a joke about taking half of everything Carl has. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that this is probably where the seed of the prenup is planted in their brains, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Also, we haven't seen Carl in like 500 episodes, it feels like. He came in that one time for Austin to, like, intimidate, and then we have not seen him since.
Do you think we'll see him again this season?
No. I don't think we will.
Okay. I mean, I believe it.
I mean, I don't, like, what, I mean, I have no idea what he would come back for. It's just weird that we haven't seen him.
It's either he's not going to be in the rest of the season, or they're going to hard pivot, and he's going to be in a lot of the last two episodes.
One of the two.
We then go on a date, and on our date, we look to our right. There's a window, but we look to our left, and there's Gabby and Victor Lang. And Gabby starts talking about how it's their last date, and he's like, come on, you keep saying that, but it's not gonna happen. You like me.
Being Gabby smarm. Doesn't want...
Oh, smarm.
Gabby is not into it. Mm-mm. She, this weird justification to get her inside, where she's like, you haven't even offered me a sweater. And it's like, what? And so he's like, okay, let's go inside and get a sweater, I guess. Basically, it was just an excuse to get her to this closet where she sees all of his ex-wife's beautiful clothes. And, like, she wants to borrow some. And he's like, no, they're my ex-wife's belongings. And that is a totally normal boundary to have, and actually makes total sense. Like, I was not annoyed with Victor like Gabby was. I was like, yeah, why would he give you his ex-wife's clothes when, like, she's still alive and she still is coming to get them? It was just very weird that Gabby was, like, annoyed with him. And I'm like, that is a very normal boundary for him to set, especially when you are consistently telling him you're not going to date him. Why would he give you clothes he might not get back? So Gabby made me rarely take the side of a man in this scene.
Whoa.
Crazy.
And then we go to therapy, our favorite place that we rarely visit, on Wisteria Lane. And Mike is still in therapy to try to get some of his memories back. He keeps remembering a movie. A movie where a woman takes raw pancakes out of an oven, and he just, like, always wakes up feeling very upset.
Mm-hmm.
And his therapist recommends that maybe he talk to Susan about it, because maybe it was a movie that they saw together. Maybe she can give him some insight, because this could be, like, a huge break if he can figure this out.
And she rightfully points out that he's, like, not going to get closure, really, until he figures it out. And he looks very sad about that.
Yeah.
Moody Mike. And we get this teeny, teeny, tiny scene where basically Edie has Travers lure Carlos over by, you know, asking Carlos to come build a model plane with him. Clearly, Edie just, like, told Travers he could have ice cream if he did it to get Carlos over to the house. Very tiny, tiny scene before we cut back to Susan and Ian.
Yeah, we cut back to Susan and Ian. They are discussing the fire. Susan is being like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. And as they are walking, they open a door. They have trays of tea, and I expect crumpets, but who can be sure? And as Susan kicks the door open, she also knocks Dahlia on her ass.
Here's the thing. Why was she, like, she gets mad at Susan And I want to go, you're the one standing directly behind a door that you know people are going to be coming through momentarily. You can hear their voices get louder as they walk near you. Who? Once again, she was standing like 2 inches away from the fire. So, yeah, of course you caught on fire. And then with this one, she's just directly standing behind the door and is like, why did this door hit me? And it's like, well, because you were standing directly behind it, Queen. What? This episode made me so deeply Team Susan, I couldn't stand it. I was like, yes. She didn't do anything. She's just like existing.
This episode made me deeply Team Susan until one point.
Is it the point that's about to come up?
Not specifically, but later.
Oh, yes. That was not good.
I might be switching my mind about Susan Meyer.
Well, we got to do the build-up, because what happens is Susan goes upstairs to get a towel and finds Ian's dad.
Graham is wearing Susan's robe, and Susan's a little taken aback by it, and he tries to cover it up by saying, oh, you know, like, it's my wife's birthday coming up. I want to get her something, and I thought maybe, like, how would this feel on her skin? So I tried it on, and Susan goes, is that why you're wearing my bra?
Yeah, well? Like, he kind of puts his little shoulder out, and we see this, like, lacy bra, too.
We get a nip slip.
Can I say my favorite part about this?
What?
That Graham and Susan wear the same size underwear.
I love that for them.
I do, too.
I hope they get together again.
I was like, that's kind of fabulous that they wear the same size. So they can be like, you want to trade? Do we want to, like, share clothes? Yes. Yeah, I thought that. I was just like, way to go, Graham, fitting into Susan's negligee. Mm-hmm.
Susan freaks out about this.
It wasn't as big of a freak as I thought it would be. Like, she's sort of just like, you can keep that. I'm going to leave. Still not great, but I was like, okay, at least she's going to shut up about it. Or so I thought at this point in the episode.
Yeah.
It's a weird plot point, I would say. I will say as well.
It's a very strange plot point. I can talk about this. I'm having some thoughts about this, which we can talk on later when we talk about the other stuff. I just hope I don't forget those thoughts.
I mean, you can say them now if you want.
I guess. I was just going to say it's as if, like, you know, I'm just thinking about the aspect of just, like, Susan Meyer, like, quote-unquote, like, or not quote-unquote, but, like, essentially, like, blackmailing.
Yeah.
A person. Like, a guy. You know?
Yeah, but, I mean, this is played for laughs, like, he's played for comedy. It's like, isn't it so funny that this dad wears this clothes? It doesn't take Graham seriously.
Well, it's,
and it just, yeah, it's kind of gross the way Susan blackmails.
It just wasn't tasteful. It wasn't good.
No, and it's also interesting because we find it out more later that, like, Dahlia has seen lingerie and just assumes it's another woman's, and and just assumes Graham is a cheater. And it is, like, a very strange culture that they're trying to build for us, that, like, Graham would rather be a cheater than, like, dress the way he wants, you know, as far as we're aware. Just an interesting, like, just a weird character choice that, like, that person would rather be thought of as a cheater than, like, who they are, I guess.
Yeah, or even just, like, I mean, maybe he does just like wearing women's clothes.
I mean,
clothes.
That's totally normal. Like, it's just interesting. It's just a very random thing they decided to do with this character.
Also, just, yeah, like, Susan Meyer, it's not your fucking place.
We do go downstairs, though, while Susan is dealing with stuff upstairs. This is where Dahlia presents the idea of the prenup to Ian. And she's like, Susan just wants your money. That's very obvious. You heard what she said about her other husband. And I just, like, I have one thought that's confusing me, and then one thought that's just a sentence I loved. One, I feel like in so many TV shows, there was always a plot where, like, women take prenups as an insult. And I don't know why it is not just thought of as like protecting your individual assets, because prenups don't, like, I think, like, same they did with Gabby too, where it's like it only benefits the man, but it's like you protect yourself too. Like, it's a it's a mutually beneficial piece of paper that says that also when you divorce, your husband can't take your shit. Like it's not like it's just a one-sided thing. And it should only be an insult if you are, yes, indeed, only getting it to steal a bunch of money from someone, I guess. I don't know. I just, prenups should, I don't know why they're plot points in TV shows. It's just confusing to me. But I also love that Ian says his brother is an alcoholic homosexual, which, same. I love that.
Hell yeah.
Well, she was like, your brother will give me an heir. And he's like, my brother is an alcoholic homosexual. I just thought it was, I thought that was a funny line.
We then go to the teen zone. We got some cool teens hanging out playing some freaking poker. Whoa, those are some cool freaking teens.
Yeah, Lynette wants to unionize, baby.
She wants to unionize. No shirts. No shirts.
All skins. Everyone's just topless working at the pizza parlor.
Yeah, like she goes up trying to inquire, being like, hey guys, like, what do you have any issues about what's going on here? And some of the employees have genuine concerns, like healthcare.
Yeah.
Maybe a pay wage. Andrew wants to know why they have to pool their tips. And
which is weird.
Yeah. And Lynette's like, no, let's not talk about that. Who cares? Let's talk about the important stuff. Like these disgusting neon orange shirts.
And no one cares because it's just a fucking work uniform. But Tom walks in on this. She's caught. And it's, like I said, I get Tom here. I think it's just an orange shirt. She tries to explain herself here. And she's like, I need to win. And I'm like, girl, you win all the time.
Yeah.
What have we been watching for 3 seasons? It's been watching you winning. And you two made this agreement that, like, he gets to be the boss here. And it's just, like, weird because she's like, we're always here, which I guess is the argument to that. But it's like, then you shouldn't have asked to work full time with him if you couldn't handle, I don't know. And if this is not a thing you can handle anymore, then you need to, like, talk it out and go get another job. Like, it just, it's all very unavoidable, or at least, not unavoidable, but, like, complications that you can discuss as adults as opposed to this weird, petty, like, I'm not going to wear an orange t-shirt thing. Mm-hmm. I am over them bickering, because then they put them back together. They give us those beautiful scenes, like, at the diner, and then it's just back to bicker. And I'm like, can we have, like, 2 episodes where they're not fighting? That'd be great.
Gabby, she is at Victor's house. She knocks on the door, and his housekeeper lets her in. And because she's like, I was here the other night. I need to use the bathroom. Excuse me.
Yeah.
And she goes to... this woman's just like, okay, sure.
She was funny. Lesbian of the episode for that woman, because she was funny.
Yes. But essentially, Gabby pulls off a major heist.
Fucking Ocean's One over here. Just Gabby by herself, yeah.
She is putting the dresses on. She is layering them, puts her poofy coat over them, and then just leaves.
Dare I say, comedy queen.
Comedy queen.
It looks like, yeah, Gabby's coming for Susan's crown. And then we get this scene. I was howling at the fucking moon. I was scratching my drapes. I was punching the drywall because Mike goes up to Susan to ask about the movie. And she's like, it wasn't a movie. It was the first night we woke up together. Like, we had sex and then we woke up and it was this, like, funny morning. And she just kind of describes this, like, idyllic morning they had after the first night they spent together, which, if you will remember, is the day after the Hoobs. I killed you. Remember how they fucked while the Hoobs was dying?
Yes, death and rebirth. Oh,
throwback, throwback. And it is the tension between them. I was screaming. I was shaking my screen. Man. I couldn't believe the tension. I want them to fuck so badly. I can't breathe whenever I see them together.
One day they're going to fuck.
It's going to be so good.
I'm sorry I had to stop.
It's going to be so good.
Sorry, I just read the line because Mike, in this scene, I will say one more thing about this scene.
Tell me, please, tell me.
And then we can move on.
No.
The line that Mike says, he was like, oh, yeah, I remember that because that was the moment I decided I want to spend all my mornings with you. Ugh. And then he kind of like realizes what he just said.
And that picture of that old man having a heart attack, that's like a meme. That's me right now. What a beautiful line. I got to put that in my vows. I got to steal that. And then Rachel's going to go, where's that from? And I'm going to go, Desperate Housewives, season 3, episode 17.
And then he excuses himself because he kind of realizes what he said.
He's like, oh, I got to go jerk off. But we go to this event. We like didn't mention it. Victor, it's whatever. He invited Gabby to an event. And that's what this is. I forget. Sometimes we forget to tell the setup of scenes. So she goes to this event wearing one of the dresses. And Victor's like, great dress. And Gabby goes to the bathroom and she meets Samantha, who is Victor's ex-wife. And she's like, great dress. It's a one of a kind. And it's mine, bitch. And she like just makes Gabby take it off and threatens to pepper spray her. And then goes and just fucking punches Victor square in the jaw. I wrote LOAT nominee for Samantha punching Victor.
Yes.
I feel like anytime a woman punches a man in this show, she gets a LOAT nominee. So
for sure, for sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Gabby's just chilling in her underwear in the bathroom.
Yeah.
They love putting Eva Longoria in lingerie. They love a good lingerie scene with Eva.
Victor knocks on the door. She lets him in, and she gets his jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to Travers. He's building his 40K army.
He's so into Warhammer.
You know, it's time to put that away. It's time to put the war games away. Travers, it's time to go to bed because you're really sleepy. And Mommy's shifting into seduction mode.
And she, like, Carlos goes to tuck him in because he loves being a dad, and Edie breaks off a little piece so that she'll be like, oh my god, can you fix it? And she is pulling out these stops, and I was literally like, sir, how are you not seeing these titties that are 2 inches from your eyes right now? Like, are you kidding me? He was just like fully ignoring it. He was fully in glue mode. And I was like, how are you not? Because then he turns, he's like, Edie, what is this? And I'm like, dude, she was like practically in your, like in your lap. Like, I don't understand.
Well, he was blinded by friendship.
He tries to friend zone Edie Britt, of all people. Are you kidding me?
I mean, he does exactly that.
Disgusting. He wants a serious relationship, and Edie's not that type of girl.
And she kicks him out.
Yeah, well, he insults her as a mother for the 15th time. So
I know, and you know what? I'm never going to get tired of her kicking him out.
Yeah, because it's like, look, I know she's not the best mom, but it's like, dude, if you want to hang out with this kid, maybe don't insult his mom. Like, just fucking keep your opinions to yourself if you, like, want to hang out with this kid. Like, whatever. And then we cut to a scene that I wish we could stay in longer. Because it's Lynette bringing the girl some beer.
Yeah, yes.
Like, why don't we get to see them just hanging out and drinking beer more often?
I know. We haven't had a poker night in so long.
Remember that time when they all got shit-faced on margaritas on the front porch? That was such a good scene.
That was awesome.
Like, I wish we could have more of that.
I was a little worried because of how frantic Lynette felt in this scene. I thought she was drinking as well. So when she left, I was like, mm-hmm. Why did they let her go drink and drive?
I thought she kind of maybe tipsy drove. Yeah, that's the word, drove. And like, she's kind of venting, right? Lynette's like, mm-hmm. You know, working there is hurting my marriage. And it's like, it's been 3 weeks. Yes. he asked you. I don't know. I just feel like Tom has been really intentional. Like, are you 100% sure you want to do this? And she's like, yes. And then she immediately regrets it. And she's like, you know, I just need to go down there and tell him to take a step back, which is good. I'm glad she's come to this conclusion because I was hoping she would go down there and they'd have a mature conversation about it. I thought the bit of Gabby and Susan being like, I guess we're babysitting now, was really funny. Because yeah, she just fucking leaves without saying anything. I also wrote LOAT for Gabby and Susan drinking some beers. The girls drinking some beers while they got their feet kicked up.
While they got their feet kicked up watching their kids?
Watching the kids. LOATs.
LOATs. I agree. Chuck them in that bucket. We haven't mentioned the bucket in a bit.
The bucket.
Chuck them in that bucket.
The bucket's ever present. The bucket never goes away.
never goes away, but you know, we gotta say
the Bucky. The Bucky.
The Bucky. Bucky. Bucky.
No, we sound like MCU stands.
Okay, so we
you motherbucker.
No. Yeah, fuck yeah.
It's like Fuddruckers.
We then go to Scavo's Pizzeria and Mamma Mia. Tom is dead. Tom is laying down on the floor. He is unconscious. And boy, do these showrunners love to make Felicity Huffman cry.
They do. They really do. I also want to say, so is the implication that there was like a robbery and then, because
I truly don't know. He was either like drunk.
There was broken glass though. She like stepped on broken glass. So that's why I was like, was there a robbery? And this is so random. The previously on, I don't know if you noticed, the previously on pulled a clip from like, had to have been season one when he is having his back issues. Do you remember that when he was like, went camping and he was like, I can't get up, and she had to drive up. So no, that's season two maybe, because it was Nora.
Two, yeah.
Yeah. They pulled that clip. So I think the reason why he's on the ground is from his back. But I think that there's an implication there was a break-in because there's broken glass on the floor. Okay. It's really unclear to me. I have no fucking idea.
Yeah, it was very unclear and the lighting was very dim. So it's hard to see.
Felicity Huffman's acting. She's great. She's a great actor. Yeah. So, you know, she's serving us acting.
And she's going to keep serving it to us as we travel all the way to the hospital, where we find out that Tom has a ruptured disc. He's going to need surgery. It's going to take 3 months to recover. But once the doctor finds out that Tom works in a restaurant, he says it's actually going to take about 4 or 5 months.
Yep. So it looks like that step back ain't happening, baby. Yeah. Lynette's going to get in there and be like, I know my husband is in the hospital, but no more uniforms. That's my first rule, my first law as the person who runs this business now. We cut to a sexy Susan.
We do cut to a sexy Susan.
Sexy Susan. She's in some black lingerie. And Ian's like, hey, I'm going to whip it out, okay? Oh. And it's a prenup. And he whips out the prenup and she's like, what? And they just kind of bicker, right? Yeah. It's just like literally them fighting it back. Because she's like, no, what is this?
She bases it off of trust. Yeah, she's like, you don't trust me enough to not sign this prenup.
She's got to protect her assets, which is her coloring pencils and...
And her easel that has dust on
her
it.
Her easel. Yeah, those are her two assets.
Yeah, they just bicker about like not being able to trust one another.
And that's basically it, because then we go to therapy and Mike is quitting.
He's done remembering. It's going to be too painful to remember all the good times with Susan, a woman he can't love no more.
Yeah, I think he's already falling back in love with her. But I think if he remembers how much he loved her, he'll be so sad forever. So he doesn't even want to remember.
Mm-hmm.
That made me sad.
That made me really sad.
How is Mike my favorite character? I don't know. It's just I don't know how that happened.
I'll say this with all the love in my heart. And although Mike does have a lot going on, I would say Mike is one of the most boring characters, just personality-wise. And sometimes boring characters are just so nice. They're a good taste break. Riley in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I'll fucking say it, he was boring, and I liked him with Buffy.
Oh,
because I thought she needed a break. I thought she needed somebody normal, and was being in a secret military organization normal? Maybe not, but he was the most normal of the bunch.
That's the hottest take you've ever said on the show.
Just saying.
I mean, I'm a Bangel bitch, so, you know. Bangel forever.
I love a boring guy.
I'm not my mom and I fight because my mom is a Spuffy fan. But
don't
I'm
get
Bangel.
Me started. Do not get me started.
That's for our Buffy podcast we'll do one day.
And then I'm going to get canceled because everybody's going to hate my opinions.
Oh, but hey, you know what opinions I don't hate?
My opinions on Despy House Sweep. Yeah. I don't know why I said it like that.
I love your Despy House Weave opinion. We go to back at Gabby's house. I want your opinions on this scene because Victor shows up. He's like, I need to get these fucking dresses back from my ex-wife. Yeah, I really loved how when she was like, yeah, you're crazy bitch of an ex-wife. And he was like, don't say that about her, actually. She was a really good person and I was a bad husband. And like, it's not her fault that I was a bad husband. It was my fault. And I just don't appreciate you insulting her. And I was like, that is so fucking mature, and to be able to own your shit is a really hard thing to do, especially when you're a man like him. And so I was like, that fucking rocks. I actually really loved this.
He may still be an asshole, but he's not a huge asshole. No, but I liked the scene. It felt genuine coming from him. I don't know this man. I shouldn't trust old white cis men who are rich, especially.
In politics.
Oh, God. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should stop saying. like you, I admired that he stood up for his ex-wife because she didn't, like, he has no ill will
do
towards
anything.
Her.
Yeah. Yeah,
she
and
didn't
I love
do
that.
Anything. And he was, like, straight up, like, yeah, whenever she was upset, I just gave her money and she bought a new dress. And, like, that's her whole closet. That was her whole relationship with this man is she was just, like, used.
Yeah, and he is so aware of it, and Gabby is as equally charmed as we are because Gabby is touched by him being able to be really self-aware. And I mean, she hasn't really dated a guy like that as far as we've seen, right? Mm-hmm. So she's like, yeah, I like that you can admit you screwed up and not project this you know, fake perfection. And she agrees to go on another date with him. She wants to date this guy. And I don't hate it. No. I don't hate it so far. Yeah. I don't hate it.
We then go to Susan, Dahlia, Graham, and Ian. Susan's going to sign the prenup. And she's not going to skirt around anything.
She's not going to linger on it. Yeah, I mean, we talked about it a bit. This sucks.
It does. I mean, it's not your place to do this, Susan.
Just don't agree to sign it. Just don't agree to sign it. That's how you don't do it. You don't blackmail. You just say, I'm not going to sign this. Simple as that. That's all it had to be.
Okay. Sorry, what?
So I'm laughing thinking about the scene that's about to happen.
Can we go to the next scene? The next scene, right?
Yeah, we let's not even linger.
Yeah, so let's go to the next scene.
I don't mean to laugh because I know that like they were trying to be serious here.
MJ. Sorry, wait.
You know, Nicolette Sheridan submitted this for an Emmy.
I'm asking for a chance.
Did you write the whole thing?
Yeah, I wish I did. Wait.
Oh, God. Let me describe. Edie comes home. She finds a beautiful bouquet from Carlos being like, I'm sorry. So she goes over to thank him, and he invites her in, and she's like, you know, Travers misses you and he's at a sleepover. I'm not a fucking evil, heinous bitch. He's with his friends. But also, you're right about me. And I just want to say, it is not that I find what she's saying funny. Like, I think that what she's saying is very real. But the way she's going about it is bonkers bananas. And the dissonance between the tone and the action is what's crazy to me. Like what she's doing versus what she's trying to say is just like weird to me, and it made me laugh. And obviously my brain was short circuiting because I was like, if I was Carlos, I would have just passed out. I would have fallen on the floor and like had a concussion because I would have fallen out seeing Edie this way.
I just really I blinked and she was naked, right?
Yeah, she's basically like saying like,
I'm just a girl.
Don't judge me.
Standing in front of a boy. Asking him to love her.
Pussy out.
Pussy asking him to eat her out.
Yeah, she's just sort of like, you know, you've judged me incorrectly. And when you take all of the layers down, I'm just me. And just,
I'm like a tiramisu.
I'm like an onion. I have layers, like a parfait. And look, anyone listening to this, you know I'm an Edie stan. I just thought this was, like, I just was literally like, why are you getting naked?
I wrote in my notes, holy shit, this is so dumb. I'm sorry, but like, I can't stop laughing.
Me and Carlos were both the eyes, lips, eyes emojis. was just standing there. Also, him giving nothing. Like, they kept cutting back to him, and he looked just fully brain dead. I just was like, dude, what is going on?
Is this the end of the episode?
It's close. It is close. It's very close to the end of the episode. Oh, because,
okay, thank God.
Like, she, you know, has this, they, he embraces her. Also, the window, if I recall correctly, it's completely wide open.
I mean,
whatever.
As it is. I mean, remember in season one with all the windows and Gabby and John? We've established only two people can be outside at a time.
Oh, Lord. But yeah, it's not the end of the episode because we get this last little moment. Lynette is at the hospital. She gets a call from Andrew, who's like, is Tom okay? Andrew being the best boy of all time this season. She tells Andrew to go ahead and open the store. Lynette's like, I'll be there. And it's sort of this moment, this full circle moment of her going and deciding to put on the uniform because it meant a lot to Tom. And she's now close to losing him and blah-bitty-blue.
Why didn't she put it on again?
Because she thought it was ugly. I don't know. Really? She just kept saying orange looks bad on her.
I had to wear a neon orange shirt for a job before.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't. It's just your job uniform. Shirt. You just have to do it. Yeah. Oh, whatever. We get a Mary Alice monologue. I forget the lead into it, if I'm being honest, but I think it's that one of those where they bring back, like, you know, women have things they don't want to give away. And basically, we see that Lynette is putting this uniform on. We see Dahlia finding lingerie, as we said, presuming it is another woman's, not knowing it is her spouse's. We see that Samantha, Victor's ex-wife, is picking up her clothes, but leaves the green dress that Gabby wore as like a peace offering to Gabby. We see that Victor gives Gabby a new dress because he's going to fill her closet again. And we see what we end the episode on is Edie and Carlos naked in bed, cuddling in the morning.
Bone town.
Bone town. They boned down. Ooh, they boned down.
Who's our load?
To bone town.
Holy shit.
Bone down to Bone Town.
Won't you take me to
Boning Town? Once again, Shrek. That was in Shrek. Remember that?
It was when?
It was in Shrek 2, I think.
I don't think so. It was. I listened to the soundtrack at work yesterday.
What?
Sometimes I put on listen, if I'm at work and I'm in charge of the music, I will put on whatever I would like. And sometimes it is the soundtrack to Shrek 2.
I love that. I mean, Holding Out for a Hero. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Doesn't get much better than Jen Saunders. I am going to vote Loat for Samantha punching Victor.
Okay.
I'm between her and the beers.
I really like the beers.
Okay, let's do beers.
I feel like the women. We haven't had a couple of
women. We haven't had a double win in a hot second. So Gabby and Susan drinking some beers is our load this episode.
And that's the episode.
That's the episode, baby.
Wahoo!
Is this where I go into if you want to find us?
Yeah, I think so.
Why do I feel like that's too soon? Mm-hmm. Weird. If you want to find us on social media, you can find us at WisteriaGaze_ on Instagram or WisteriaGaze on Twitter, and you can also find us on our website, WisteriaGaze.com.
And on our website, you can also find a link to our Discord. Our Discord is great. We hang out there. We post shit posts all the time. we just hang out there. It's just good fun. You can find the link on our website as well. You can also find our merch page. We have some really cool merch. Mm-hmm. We have our Fairview High Abstinence Club. I Killed Martha Huber pillow.
Oh yeah, I also put a Loat shirt up.
Whoa.
I don't know if you know about that.
Oh, yeah, I
put a Lesbian of the Episode shirt. It's very fun. The word lesbian is the lesbian flag, and then of the episode is beneath it. And it's a cute little Loat shirt. So if you're a Loat and you love being a Loat, you know?
Hell yeah.
I forget we also have that baby outfit that says Milky Spitty Uppy.
Wait, we put, you know how you can do, like, this is a great segue, by the way. You know how on Patreon you can do goals?
Mm-hmm.
We do a goal where if we get a certain amount of patrons, we'll buy a Milky Spitty Uppy and we'll put an animal in it or something. I don't know.
we should put my cat in the Milky Spitty Uppy. Yeah, absolutely.
And then we'll each put our cats in it.
You're right. That's a great transition to our Patreon.
Whoa. which can be found on our website, but our Patreon, also at patreon.com/wisteriagaze. It's great. It helps support us, and it helps support the show. If you don't know what Patreon is, it's like a subscription monthly. You get benefits, and we get benefits, and the benefits for us...
So we get to hang out with you.
Yeah.
And we get to give you more stuff. We did recently a watch through audio of John Tucker Must Die, and we are planning our next one very soon.
Yeah.
So we're going to be putting up fun little audios that are like long form, very uncut Wisteria Gaze episodes where you just kind of get to hang out with us and watch a movie with us.
Yeah.
So, and if you're on our Patreon, you can suggest movies to us and let us know stuff. And we actually have two new patrons this week. Mm-hmm. I want to do an extra special shout out for our two new patrons.
Hell yeah.
We had Jade and Victoria join us this week. So extra, ooh, extra shout out to Jade and Victoria. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. And also, if you want to subscribe to our Patreon, it is pay what you can with a minimum of $2.
Mm-hmm,
and mm-hmm. You not only get those cool, cool bennies that Mackenzie...
I think bennies are something else.
Right.
We don't do drug dealing on Patreon, I promise. Oh, God.
If you want those benefits...
No, they're called bennies now, yeah.
If you want those bennies, please. $2 is pretty cheap. And you can also get ad-free episodes. Episode show notes, as unhinged as they are. And episode shout-outs. So... we're going to take the next minute.
We're getting wild right now.
Shout out our patrons. I'm great. So thank you to Amanda.
Annie.
Kaylin.
Cheryl.
Drusilla LaFay.
Elise.
Erin.
Helena.
Jade.
Kim.
Liv.
Lydia.
Nadia.
Sarah Schroeder.
Sarah Swihart.
Tom.
And Victoria.
Woo.
Thank you so much for being our patrons.
We love you.
And if you want to find me on social media... you can find me at Garfield's Penis.
I'm Mackenzie Wilkes on Twitter.
Mackenzie.
You're.
I love you.
I love you too.
Everyone else.
What?
Everyone else.
Oh, I could not understand what that was.
Stay juicy.
Stay juicy.